My favorite songs. Appreciate that. And we want to welcome the people out in the parking lot, those that listen on Facebook and over the internet. Second Peter chapter 1. And I know I shared this with you a few weeks ago, but like I said, this time it's for me. Second Peter chapter 1, we'll begin with verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail.
Amen.
And I've got some scripture in James chapter 5. James chapter 5 is talking about calling the sick, calling for the elders, anointing them. But I'd like to begin James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of righteous, of a righteous man, availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and want to convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall have a multitude of sins.
Amen.
I'm going to confess some faults. The devil's tried to talk me out of doing this.
Bless you, Jesus.
I need your all's help. I pay too much attention. I let the world get to me. That's a big fault that I have. The things that are going on in the world, the way things are, how people does, the way they drive on the road, just all the way people treat you when you go in the store, the checkout, the drive-through, all these things, just they bother me, and I let it get to me, and I don't do what I like to do.
Right.
And it really troubles me, and I don't want to be that person. You know, I don't rant and rave and cuss anybody out or anything like that, but it's just those thoughts we have to deal with, and I get hateful. And a lot of times you take it out of the ones that you love the most.
Bless you, brother.
And I'm sorry, honey. But I want to confess that fault to
you,
Lord, because I need you all to pray with me. I can tell you what, I cherish your all's prayer.
Bless you, brother.
I covet your prayers. You're my family.
Amen.
You all are my family. And you don't know how true that is. I know we won't get into that or go into that. You all are my family. And I believe that if I'll do what God's Word says, I know He'll help me with that.
Amen.
Just this morning, I'll share this real quickly with you, just this morning, and then we'll pray. I thought, well, today I'm going to try my best to have a good day. That's what I thought. I thought, I'm going to try to have a good day. Didn't get 2 miles from the house. I was driving the speed limit, and a car pulls right out in front of me, and I just about have to lock my truck up to keep from hitting them. And then they don't go on, and, you know, here I am calling them an idiot and everything, you know, you stupid idiot. You know, and I don't want to be that person. I ought to be thanking God that He let me to react quick enough to keep from handling.
Bless you, buddy.
That's the mindset that I want to have. It bothers me.
Bless
and I need God's help with that. And I believe if you all will pray with me and for me, and I believe the Lord will help.
You're doing it the way he said to do it.
And the devil's tried to talk me out of this. Oh, Gene, you don't need... What are they going to think of you? You've been getting up and talking to them. What are they going to think? Well, I can't help what you think.
Amen.
But I know this. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I'm going to obey the Lord.
Yeah.
And before I forget it, I'm sorry I hadn't said it sooner. I'm awfully glad to see Brother Willard and Sister Amy made it safe back home. I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
Thankful. I'm sorry for your loss, Brother Willard.
Right.
So, I'd like you, if you would, if you can't come around the altar, that's fine. And just, I would appreciate your prayers. And let's, everybody at Cannon Wood, we'll get around the altar and pray.
Guys, I believe you
can
do it the way the book says it'll work.
Welcome you all. Appreciate you all listening in. Well, just thank you. You don't know what that meant to me. I just want you to know I appreciate it. And if I could ever do anything for you all, anything, anytime, any work, please let me know. Please let me know.
I heard a preacher preach on this one time. They said, "If you get in line and ask to just figure out why it might just go all in and go." And he got to talking about it, and he said, "I learned that to have patience by not wasting the weight." He said, "I hate the weight." And he said, "So now when I get in a position, before I have to wait for my patience to try," he said, "I start quoting scriptures in my mind that I've memorized. Or if I make it up, they take it over my Bible, I don't waste the weight. And then I'm thinking God to do the work."
Yeah.
You know, it might help me more than anything. Now when I get in a position in a line and I think everybody's cutting in front of me and all that, I take my Bible out and I just start reading. I can waste the weight.
But I don't know how many songs, I don't know how many hymns I sung today. It works. It works, Brother Anthony. It works. If anybody got anything to do for the Lord? God's good.
Yeah.
He is good.
Bless your heart.
Thank you. maybe up the dog, but she has to get past the radius. This was, and he's not a Christian, and he was on his place in the rest of the city, and he had many things that were judging off. But he'd get back up on his feet and walk him again in the rest of the city. And they were concerned, all things I could stop us from getting there. So just keep on touching him and he's looking like it. Once I wandered in darkness one day, there was failure in knocking at my heart, and I opened the door laying in. Now it's blessing me and hard. I will never come back. It's my life every day. No, I'll never come back. So my Savior is leading me.
Go on, man.
And his service this day may I be. Lead sin to Jesus who reveals. With the blood flowing from Calvary, tell the love of his wondrous Savior. I will never come back.
Hallelujah.
It's my life every day. No, I'll never come back. For my Savior is leading the way. All his love I will sing every day. I'll sing all this wondrous proud to say, for my Savior is leading the way to the mansions of glory above. I will never come back. It's my life every day. No, I'll never come back. For my Savior is leading the way. Healing God in his soul by his blood. And he keeps me from my soul.
Hallelujah.
I will sing all this wondrous love. Tell my Savior I see once again. I will never come back. It's my life every day. No, I'll never come back. For my Savior is leading the way. I could turn back, I'm not home yet. But I feel like I'm still on the highway to that restful city.
Thank you all.
And one day I pray I'll make it.
Yeah. Amen.
Find that in a mega church.
Amen. Yeah.
I'll take this.
Yeah.
I'll take our little
in
church. Yep, and Jesus. Any day.
Amen.
Any day. Yeah. Anyone else got anything to do for the Lord? No one don't have anything. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Paul.
Well, I enjoyed that. I'm going to tell you, Paul said this right here, and I'm going to give Geneva a rose. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. I followed that woman right there a long time. She's always been a blessing. We go to revivals in churches, and there she'd be. And I tell Lou, well, maybe this is what she does. Then we've been revival somewhere else, Bill, and she did that, and I said, well, maybe this is what she does. I love you, Geneva. You've been a blessing and a help and a light. This this old boy. You are too, honey. Appreciate the Lord. You know, I seen something this morning that I was reading. It kind of dealt with anger and problems in the world and getting so focused on that problem and so focused on that anger, and it'll affect your race. And it said right here at the end of that thing I read, it said, don't focus so much on your suffering. Focus on what you've learned through your suffering. And we've all suffered things and have problems, but sometimes we want to look back at that and dwell on that. But instead of dwelling on that, just turn around and focus on what you've learned through that. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, is traveling in the dark. Traveling in the dark. And I seen a boy at Lowe's today, and we got talking about just like what you was talking about. The things in the world that you see, discouraging, aggravating, disappointing, and seem like making a mockery of God and the mockery of the Word of God. And it'll get you in a place that where you, if you ain't careful, anger and things will rise up in you. And when I'm angry, I ain't no camp. I mean, it's a battle, ain't it? But that's why the writer tells us to try to keep a song up on our heart and, you know, meditate upon the things of God and things that you've learned along the way to help you. But anyway, tonight, turn your Bibles over to the book of Exodus. In the, I want to bring out a few things tonight, but I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, if you'll stand tonight in the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. Now you go through things, you see things, you wonder about things, and you're troubled about things, and it'll put you into some situations here that we're going to deal with a little bit tonight. But in the end of the thing, as I guess the lesson that we can learn out of it is in the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus, God, Abby. In the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus, and everybody knows the word Exodus means a way out. God will provide a way out. But in Exodus 14, I want to read verse number 31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. You may be seated. Now tonight we want to look back tonight in the last chapter of this book, or the last chapter of last verses of the verse chapter 13. But I want you to think about tonight what was going on. You can read about in the beginning that God created everything. He made man in the image of in his likeness and in image. They were in a perfect place in a garden. And in the third chapter of Genesis, you'll see where that man fell because of temptation by sin. There was a choice there in that garden, and God told them, don't eat of that fruit, and if you eat of it, you'll die. And the devil lied to him and said, well, you won't die, you'll be a god, you'll be like God. And that's what we're known. When Eve ate that fruit and gave it to her husband, that caused something called the depravity of man. We were deprived of being in relationship with God. Shame come about, sin come about, death come about, and it just rolled on. And men began to multiply on the earth. And you'll see here in Genesis, you'll find out here about the two young'uns that was born, and the one slew the other one. And you go on and you'll read about, you'll see here in the beginning how that God, when man multiplied, they got in such a place that God destroyed this thing. I mean, with water. And then you go on and that population, you read about Abraham, you read about Isaac, you read about Jacob, and you go on up there, and people of God begin to multiply, they begin to grow, and the next thing you know, I mean, we're leaving out a lot, but I can't get all of it out tonight, but the next thing you know, God's youngins is down in Egypt. They're in bondage. And as we look tonight at as being a child of God, I mean, when the Lord saves us, He brings us out of bondage. He brings us out of the bondage that we're in. We were in the bondage of sin. We were in the bondage of living for the devil and going about doing things that was against God. But when the Lord saved us and we got born again, we come out of bondage. But here they were down there in Egypt for 430 years. And the Bible said that God sent Moses down there to get them. And the Bible said when Moses got down there, the Pharaoh was down there, Moses told him, he said, God said to let my people go. And the Bible teaches us that Pharaoh said, no, they're not going. And then that's when the plagues began to take place down in Egypt. I mean, there was a lot of plagues that was sent, pestilence and locusts and flies and lice and frogs and a lot of plagues that was sent. But the last plague that was sent, there was the death angel that come down and took every firstborn, a man, a cattle, and everything. But prior to that, God told him, he told Moses to tell him, he said, now before this last plague comes, he said, I want you to take an animal and take the blood of that animal. And we're leading up to Calvary. We're leading up to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But anyway, God told Moses to tell him to get in the house and put that blood upon the doorpost and on the door mantle. And when that angel come across that night, the Bible said at midnight, there was a great cry like it's never been heard or never will be heard again, the Bible said. And brother, it took the firstborn. They wasn't a house down there that somebody wasn't dead in, the Bible said. And brother, but the children of God, they were saved. Brother, why was that? They were in the house that was covered by the blood that was on the doorpost and the door mantle. When the death angel come over, he passed on by. And I believe tonight, as we as the children of God, when we leave this walk of life, I believe the blood's got to be applied. And brother, and I believe we'll never die. There in this body, it'll be dissolved and go back to the earth where it was made. But the Bible said the spirit goes back to God who giveth it. But anyway, here we are. When that death angel came over and Pharaoh lost a child, brother, he come out there and said, hey, I want you to get the Israelites. I want you to get out of here. I want you to leave. And notice tonight, I mean, that's the way when the devil turned me loose and he turned you loose, and God set us free by coming unto him. That disconnected us from Egypt. That disconnected us from the world. But brother, here we was. It wasn't but just a very, very short time after the children of Israel left Egypt. Pharaoh said, get the chariots and the horses together. We should not have let them go. They were servants unto us. We shouldn't have let them go. And the Bible said right here, according to the word of God, they're going and they're headed somewhere. But then they get to one certain place in the exit where they didn't have nowhere else to go. And brother, they got out there. And brother said they got up again the Red Sea, the water there. And they turned to Moses and said, you ought to left us down here in Egypt. You ought to left us down here in Egypt. You brought us out here to die and to bury us out here. And brother, Moses went to God. And brother said, now God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to show you what God done then. And God, he'll do it right now. In the 13th chapter of this book, in verse number 21, and the Bible said, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and led them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire, and to give them light to go by day and night. And I notice this, God made provision with a cloud by day and a fire by night. But he goes on down, verse 22, and the Bible said, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. All right, now here we are tonight. Pharaoh's mad, and brother, and the people of God, they're aggravated and think it's over, and think that Pharaoh's going to get them and take them back into bondage. And they said, now what are we going to do, Moses? And now listen tonight here, when you first got saved and I first got saved, I enjoyed the first few days. It seemed like I was up on cloud nine, as they say. But brother, when reality set in and I went back to work and I went back and faced the world, and brother, the aggravation and all that stuff began to set in, the devil said, you'd been better off not to went to the altar. You'd been better off not to have got saved. No way you can make it. And no way you can do it. But thank God tonight I kept going where the cloud was and the fire was. And I've learned by the grace of God that children of God need to learn to travel by night. We're in a dark world. But God said, I'll go with you guys all the way. And now look in this next chapter right here in verse number chapter 14, verse number 5. And the Bible said, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this that we have to let Israel go from serving us? They said to Pharaoh, what in the world have we done? Why did we let these people go for serving us? You think about the Egyptians and the things that they built and established and made. Brother, when God's people is in bondage, they'll make a lot of things for Pharaoh. When you're lost without God, you'll feed Budweiser. You'll feed this and feed that. But brother, when God delivers you out of that, all of us wasn't drunks and all of us wasn't this. But if we were serving God or serving the devil, when God saved me, we quit serving the devil. But it wasn't long that that devil said, hey, we can't have this. We got to go back out there and get him. And right here's what happened. And verse number 6, and he made ready his church and took his people with him. And I noticed this. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. I'm talking about a mad world. I'm talking about a mad man. 600 chariots and captains over every chariot. And the Bible said in verse number 8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children went out with a high hand. Brother, they did not leave Egypt empty-handed. They never left Egypt without provision. They had some, but everything you have, when you start out, a lot of times, it'll run out yonder when you hit a storm. It'll run out when you get out there up against a wall. And brother, verse number 9 said, and the Egyptians, now stay with me tonight. He said, and the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army overtook them encamping by the sea by Philroth before Baalzop. He said, now notice, and when here they are, right here they are on the way out, and they get up there with 600 chariots behind them, and they get up against a body of water. And but I want you to notice tonight what God done in verse number 10 said, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore dost thou deal thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? And now think about this tonight. Here we are, 600,000 men, and not counting women and children, that had left bondage, left Egypt, and they got out there to the water, and hey, it looked impossible. There's no way that we can go no farther. And they turned and said, Moses, you brought us out here. We'd been better off to die down there in Egypt. At least we had cucumbers and leeks and things down there. But now we're in trouble. Now what are we going to do? Look what Moses said in verse number 12. He said, is not this the word we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. That's what happens when people reject the word of God. When you preach the cross to them, you preach a way out. And a lot of them will say, leave us alone, not right now. We're not ready to get out. I don't want to get out. And right here was the attitude that they were having. You'll just let us alone. But thank God. God can help you change your mind. But anyway, right here, and Moses in 13 said unto the people, fear ye not, and don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. And the Egyptians, you see today, you'll see them again no more forever. Now that was something that God, that Moses told them people there. They was afraid. But Moses said, hey, just be still and stand still and see the salvation of God. God. He said, for these Egyptians you see today, and you won't see them tomorrow. I mean, they'll be gone. Why is that? Because God is teaching us how to travel by night. But anyway, it goes on to say, 14, he said, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? Hey, church, don't get so bent out of shape. Don't get so troubled when storms come your way and the way seems impossible to get out. Always remember, stand still and watch God work. He'll take us forward. He'll take us somewhere. And there'll be a train fill the temple and the things added on to it as we go. But anyway, and verse number 16, he said, but lift Moses, he said, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch it and thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go over on dry ground through the sea. Impossible thing. I mean, God told Moses, he said, Moses, stretch your rod out, and brother, I'm going to split the sea, but there'll be a wall on this side and a wall on that side. Stay with me tonight. And the Bible said in 17, he said, and I, behold, will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they will follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his host and his chariots and upon his horses. And then the verse number 19, God's going to get honor out of this world one day. Every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that he is the Christ, to the glory of God. Hey, tonight, out there in this world, God help this a bunch of sodomites and infidels out there that don't believe God. You will one day, when your knees buckle under you, and you confess that he is the Christ, to the glory of God. And verse number 19 says this, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before them, before their face, and stood behind them. For you see, tonight, God, brother, he's making a preparation to get us to where we're going. It's a dark world out there, but there'll be a cloud, and there'll be a pillar of fire, and there'll be a cloud of leading us. And brother, that pillar of fire that's behind us, it'll block the vision of the Egyptians. It'll block them out to where they can't even see us. Stay with me now. And verse number 20, and he said, and it came to pass between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but gave light by night to them, to these, so that one came not near all the night. And here they are out there, brother. You know why people love darkness? Because their deeds are evil. Men won't come to the light because it'll shine the light on them. But brother, that night God, brother, he put a cloud and a fire between them so they couldn't move and they couldn't get to one another. I'm glad tonight, by the grace of God, Paul told the church, I believe in Corinthians, I've learned a few tricks of the devil. And sometimes, buddy, you just got to stand still and watch God work. And he showed us time and time again how we can travel in the dark. Amen. Stay with me now right here. And verse number 21. He said, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters was divided. All right, now verse number 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left hand. I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. It doesn't matter what comes your way, what happens along the journey. I guarantee you, if we'll follow God and we'll acknowledge Him all of our ways, He'll direct our path. God will put a wall over here and a wall over there, and but that enemy can't get over it. That enemy can't get over it, and he's short, and God can't get through it. Why is that? God's trying to teach the children of God. But there'll be darkness along the way. There'll be enemies pursue ye and get right next to ye. But God, through the power, through the wind, through the Holy Ghost, He'll drive the things up, build a wall around ye, and pray. God teach us how to travel by night. Look at this. And verse number 23. And the Egyptians, look here, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked on the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. I believe tonight, I can't explain all of it, but God said when morning come, He seen the chariots and the 600 horsemen, and all of them, they was mad at a bull. They was driving the chariots so hard that God drove the wheels off of them, and their axles ended up down in the mud. Hey, beloved, don't be worried. In well doing, you'll reap in due season. If you faint not, if you learn how to travel by night. Amen. And he goes on to say here, 25, and took off their chariot wheels. They drove them so hard, heavily, it says. So the Egyptian said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth them against the Egyptians. There'll come a time. There'll be a time in your pursuit. There'll be a time when the devil, he just like when they made bets on us when we got saved in 1990 at the old Hofbrauer house in Greenville, how that we wouldn't last a month, how we wouldn't last 6 months, how we wouldn't last a year, made bets on us, how that we wouldn't last. I'm like Buford said Sunday morning, I am what I am tonight by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God. And well, you know what's happened over the years? Hey, some of them quit following me. Quit running after us. Anyway, he said, verse number 24 said, and it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, tore off their wheels, the wheels fell off, and then the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horses. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled again it, and the Lord overflew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned, covered the chariots, horsemen, the host of the Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained no, not so much as one of them. And the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left hand. And the Lord saved the Israelites of that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, guys, and you tell me how this happened. Brother, here's a body of water, and God parted the walls of that thing and caused the wind to dry it. I mean, that's impossible. There are things that's impossible with man, but nothing's impossible with God. Hey, tonight, I just pray for me that I'll preach on, that I'll preach on. And you know what will happen? It'll dry the things up around you, and you'll look up one day, and you'll see a wall here and a wall there, and turn around and say, well, they was behind me now, but I don't see nothing. I see corpses are floating. What do you mean? I mean, God, he will make a way when it's dark. God will make a way when it's dark. You agree with me tonight? We're living in a dark world. Sin. Darkness represents sin. Light represents the life that's with God. Darkness, the Bible said, and they comprehended it not. Men will come to the light because their deeds are evil. They love to hide. They love to do things in the dark, in secret where nobody can see them. But this right here, it'll bring it to light. And brother, when you realize that God wants to get you out of bondage, and God wants to save your dying soul and get you headed the right way, there'll be days of darkness, and there'll be trouble on the land, and there'll be disappointments, and there'll be aggravations, and there'll be turmoil. There'll be a lot of things we have to face in this life, but by the grace of God, just stand still and see God work. God will dry the ground up and put us across on dry ground, and we can turn back around. Hey, tonight, read the rest of the book. They piled the stones up there and said, what is this? This is to tell you youngins and their youngins what this represents. God, it's a big book, ain't it? Get the preachers in the water and lay the stones down. Build memorials in your life. Give God praise and honor for what he's done and what he's doing and what he's going to do. He's going to get people out of bondage and get us traveling in the dark.
Amen.
Listen tonight. You got to have light at night. If you ain't got light at night, you'll trip and fall over everything. I tell you, if you've got the light of life inside you, he'll teach you how to walk when it's dark. I'm not preaching foolish tonight. I'm preaching the dark world we live in, that God will show us how to get through things, through the dark things of this world, the dark things of this life. And you overcome by your word, by the blood, your testimony. Thank God for saving an old wretch like me.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
God for getting me up out of the ditch, Bill. Thank God for getting me up out of the Marty Clay, Willard. Thank God he set my feet on a rug. Thank God he gave me a new song to sing. Even praises unto God. I'm glad I'm in the army of God tonight. Hey, out there tonight. And there's no discharge in this army. I mean, there'd been a time or two I felt like going to AWOL. But thank God tonight. There's been enough spark there. Had to keep the light of burning enough. Had to say, hey, I want to march on in the light for the glory of God.
Amen.
We've traveled a lot in the dark down here, ain't we? Brother Abby, we've seen some of you men that's here when we came, Buck, and some of you is Donnie and Buford. We've seen some darkness come our way, Buck.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But you know what? God's helped us. I thought about Geneva there. What a woman. What a testimony. that day, and I don't know, I mean, I just love the Lord. I reckon enough that he tells me stuff every now and then. That morning, Joe was leaving here. Linda called me and said, Paul, you might ought to come down here. I said, honey, I'm about a minute away. God told me to go down there that morning. Walked in there, she was singing to her husband as in a dark time in their life. And she was singing after her husband made the crossing. Hey, you know what happened, don't you? He went across on dry ground. It was a wall. He defeated the last enemy, death. And death swallowed up, praise God, through and by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, the dark days that we've been, that we've seen. Can we rejoice knowing that God's able to help us through the dark times? If it wasn't for the Lord, what would we do? If it wasn't for God, where would we turn, Donnie? I'll tell you what we'd do. We'd do what that book says. If we turn away from him, we'd be like a dog going back to his vomit and a hog back to his mire. And we'd end up seven times worse than we were when we started. God help, I don't need to be seven times worse than I was. I'd have surely died somewhere. But I don't know about you. Every now and then I like to take a glimpse at old Daniel and just rear back and say, God, I believe you're helping me. Hey, sometimes I feel like I'm 10 times better. Why is that? Because God has showed us how to walk through the dark days. My grandma passed away. I'll never forget it. 92 years old. After Papa died, Esco Reagan, went and lived with her. We'd sit on the front porch, come buttercup, Peter sends up the gate and waits for butter, cake, come buttercup. She called me Plink. She said, Plink, keep shaking it. And I would, and that butter come to top. They told me she passed away. I went out there in the honeysuckles. I just knelt down, broke my heart and cried because Mama had left. But she left something. Knowing, left a testimony. If I just hang on by the grace of God, I can't explain all of it. I know what the book says. He said, we'd shake glad hand with the elders, tell our kindred good morning one day, and thank God when that angel sets one foot on the land and up on the sea and raises his hand toward heaven, declare that time will be no more. I want to be in that number, don't you? There'll be some dark days come through here. But by the grace of God, Buck, he's teaching us to walk through the dark. Buck, probably the darkest days he's ever had in his life. Here just the last little while. But where have you seen him? On the dry ground. Walls, church around him, trying to help him get over yonder. By the grace of God, he'll get there one day. He'll finish his race one day. I thought about Patsy the other day going down there to Lawrence that day and going in that house. Them boys in there. We was trying to get him out. It's a pretty dark day. No, he loved me. I loved that old boy. We've had some dark days. Patsy, but I've seen you time and time again. Raise your hand. Your little wife out there, Jody. Darkness upon her, sadness. Willard lost a friend and so on and so forth. Right on down the line, we've all had dark days. July the 4th, we went out the highway. My nephew had an American flag in the back of his truck, taking my dad out there on July the 4th. After the graveyard, people stopping in the road and saluting as my dad went by. An honorable thing. It's a dark day. But thank God tonight. He's by the grace of God. Thank God for the church and the love and the fellowship and the walls that we build around each other. During the dark times, and we can teach each other how to walk by night. Well, I'm done. Stand up. Seemed like speaking got cut off, and that ought to be enough. Does anybody have anything before we dismiss? Sunday morning, guys, Lord willing, we're going to have regular church, and after church, we're going to go out here to the pavilion. We're going to get pizzas and sandwiches. We're going to eat us a bite. We get done eating, 1:30, 1:30 or something other, 15 to 2 or something, we'll take off and go over to the river. We'll have a baptizing. Time we get over there and get done baptizing and all that, be 3 or 4 o'clock probably. So we just won't have services Sunday night and everybody won't have to be in such a hurry. We'll just have a good day in the Lord together. I know we'll have some help baptizing. Food's are coming next Thursday. About 9:30 or 10. I'll need some help in the creek. Abby, Jody, some of you in Big Dallas is going to come. Gene, you better put your bill on the dice pocket or something. We may drag in and help us. But it'll be an honor to baptize all those that's been saved lately. And I believe you need to. That's an outward appearance, outward a testimony, answering your conscience to God that the old man's died, you've been raised again, the newness of life. And, that'll be more ammunition you got when the devil comes. I got saved that day, and I went to the river, and I showed the world that that old person had died, and I've been raised again, the newness of life. Being honored to do that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All hearts and minds clear. Praise the Lord. Bless you, Pastor.
Thank you, Mr. Minnie. Amen.
Pretty strong now for a little while.